Friday, April 2nd, marks the end of an historic era in the Capitol Press Room's storied history, as show producer Tim Williams is hanging up his headphones, handing in his public media badge, and moving on up in the world. So to commemorate the occasion, we're turning the tables for our HR-mandated exit interview with Tim Williams. Thanks for joining us, Tim.
Howdy, Dave.
So you predate me at this job, so I'm curious, how long have you been here for, and how did you end up applying for this job in the first place?
I was here when Mario Cuomo was governor. I graduated from the Massachusetts College of Liberal Arts back in May of 2017, and did that long, hard application process, and stumbled upon this job. And interviewed with Susan Arbiter, who is your predecessor, and my predecessor, Alyssa Plock, and one thing led to another, and my nervous self somehow got hired here.
So you say stumbled upon. So had you heard of the show, or were you even familiar with New York State government, really, at the time?
Yeah. I was a big politics nerd. Mm-hmm. I've been a politics nerd since I was 6 years old. My dad was a volunteer firefighter down at 9/11, and became disabled, and it sparked my interest in government. And I've for my 18th birthday, my parents wrapped up a voter registration form as a joke. But yeah, I've been obsessed with government and stuff like that since I was six.
When you had to take this job on, what sort of learning curve was there? You know, not just from the technical side of things, but also getting up to speed on how Albany works and who the right people would be to talk to.
Well, I had to realize that people weren't being offensive when they were saying big ugly. Mm. but yeah, there's definitely a learning curve with Albany, because Albany doesn't, you know this, it doesn't work like normal. It's not in the real world. I think we step into an alternate reality when we come into the Capitol. But yeah, thankfully, it's a small place in a good way, where you get to meet people and you can have access to people and lawmakers and stuff like that. one of my favorite times was when we had Robin Schimminger on. And
former Buffalo Assemblyman.
Yeah, okay. Live on the radio, he started chewing a cough drop.
But have you had a lot of, you know, on-air crises that you've had to deal with, whether it's someone cursing or, you know, maybe not showing up for an interview?
Well, actually, a couple days ago was the 2-year anniversary of when we had Jane Fonda on the air.
Okay.
And listeners will know Dan Clark, who's the host of New York Now on PBS, was Jane Fonda's understudy, because we were... the segment was supposed to start at 11:20, and it was 11:20, and she didn't call yet. And so we're like, Dan, come here, please hurry up, which is a common occurrence. I don't know if I had anxiety before the show or during the show, but yeah.
I think one time we had to grab one of our reporters, John Campbell, and have him like sit here while we were waiting for John Flanagan, then the minority leader. I think we really should get a sort of a stand-in, you know, in the future. Mm-hmm. And we'll have to have your, you know, successor figure that out.
Maybe you can have an impressionist.
don't encourage Randy.
Frank Caliendo is our stand-in.
Yeah. So, well, speaking of guests, who's been one of your favorite recurring guests on the show, and why?
Well, definitely back when we had Dan on from PolitiFact, we would use sound effects, because you know they had that rating, Pants on Fire.
Yes.
And so that was always a fun thing. I had a goofy yell. Or is that the goofy yell, though? Whoa-ho-ho-ho-ho-ho-ho-ho.
Could you do that again?
No.
Okay.
I don't know why I did it in the first place.
This is the first, you know, year and a half, I have never heard you do this goofy voice. I feel like I've been missing out.
Yeah, I saved it for the last day for you, Dave.
Excellent.
But yeah, there's a lot of great people. Bruce Giori is always a great listen whenever he gets into the demographics and crazy numbers behind every election result.
What guest is the nicest to you? Because obviously, you know, politicians and everybody might put on a pretty face when they come on the air, and they're, you know, sweet talking the host, obviously, because, you know, they want to keep on my good side. But, you know, the people who work behind the scenes, not everyone's necessarily, you know, great to those people. So who do you find has been, you know, that you've really enjoyed working with and is nice to you?
State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli is probably one of the nicest people I've ever met that works in state government, or any facet of public life. I remember he came in one day before we had a Thanksgiving show, and he's like, "Oh, so what are you doing for Thanksgiving?" And I said, "Oh, we're just doing a small thing in Kitsaki, where my family lives." And he goes, "At the federal, the state prison there?" I'm like, no, up the road. But he's always been nice in that whole staff there as well.
Without naming names, what are some of the worst guests, like attributes that you've had to deal with over the last nearly 4 years?
Is this where I'm not supposed to bring you up? No.
Well, I said guest. I said guest.
You were a guest before.
That is true.
We actually had you and your mom on that one time where she was buying Hamilton tickets right before she came
you
on
and,
the air.
You and Susan made sure that she had a computer set up so she could get tickets for the showing at Proctor's.
Shout out to Barb.
Yeah, we were real divas, you know, requiring that help before going on the air.
Well, you put it in your rider. You have to get Hamilton tickets no matter what.
That was true. But you know, more seriously, I mean, have there been difficulties with guests?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, you don't want to say that there's divas, but sometimes there are divas where they're like, "Oh, I can't go on that show," or you ask them a hard question and they refuse to come on the air. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's troubling, but it's good when you can ask hard questions and the person leaves the hut with a smile on their face because they realize you're doing an important job.
You're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're doing our HR-mandated exit interview with Tim Williams, our show producer, who is leaving us after nearly 4 years and handing in his public media tote bag for the world of private media.
I never got a tote bag.
Oh, that's something you got to take up with Susan. That was my predecessor.
Who do I write an angry letter to?
I believe its name is Big Bird. It's care of Big Bird, yes. Through all your time here, has there been any guests that you have been trying to book and have been unable to over the last, you know, nearly 4 years? Who's your white whale in terms of getting them into the hut?
For some reason, any attorney general, we've had them on every once in a while, but they're very elusive. It is the white whale. You might get like a hook on once, but they're kind of a MIA.
Okay.
Or should I put also here Governor Andrew Cuomo?
Well, you used to have him on.
Yeah. Back in the olden days.
What was the process of Andrew Cuomo appearing on your show? Was it like what we've heard with other stations where he would just sort of call up and be like, "Hi, the governor's ready to go in like 6 minutes. Would you like to have him on?" Or was he more accommodating than that?
it was probably less than that. Our show starts at 11 a.m., and we would get a call at 10:45, like, "Oh, the governor wants to come on. Can we come on?" And it's like, sure, but how do you have the time to prepare or anything like that? And that's obviously part of a tactic. But I remember one time, we've since kind of changed our schedule a little bit, but we, at 11:45, we would have that 3-minute segment and then an 8-minute segment. And I was shepherding in two guests because it was going to be live, and Rich has a party, the governor's comms person, popped up behind me. I didn't see him at all, and he scared me. And he's like, "Can we have the governor on at 11:45? And I'm like, "It's 11:44. What do you mean?" So, yeah, the governor...
Did he get on in that case?
We said no in that instance.
Was that a tough decision to make, or was that something that Susan had to make? Or
that was a Susan thing, yeah.
Okay.
You don't make that big of a decision by yourself. And that's one of the good things, working with two people in the hut. Like, you can have a conversation quickly, and it's not like this whole decision process with a bunch of different people.
So, besides me, what are you going to miss most about this job?
I think with this medium, with audio, you can tell a story in a different way that you don't typically see on the network news or something like that. I like having that closeness that you get from audio. Just working here in the hut and stuff like that, it's a nice place to work. And you look around at the history that's surrounding you, and it's awe-inspiring.
So what's next?
I'm going to be headed over to not too far, Spectrum News, and working with the Capitol Tonight team there and helping coordinate their political coverage and stuff. It'll be a lot of fun.
And what was appealing about that to you?
It's a new medium. I know I just bragged about audio, but I've never worked in television full time, and I wanted to dip my toes in the water and help tell stories in a different way.
Do you think you're mentally prepared for a work environment, though, where you're not trapped in a small cubicle with one other person?
Well, I gossip about you mm-hmm. to myself.
Yeah.
So I don't know how to break the news to myself that I'm leaving. But it'll be interesting to work with more than one person and getting to collaborate as part of a team. We do have people here in the press room that are working for other outlets and stuff like that. But yeah, it'll be weird working with more than one person towards a common goal.
Is this something that you see yourself doing 5-10 years from now, or is the goal eventually to end up, you know, in DC or New York City, or are you happy, you know, where you live and, you know, you can't really see that far in the future?
I was born and raised for the early part of my life in New York City, and then we moved.
Then you moved to that prison in Greene County.
Yes, yeah. But after 9/11, my family and I moved up to the Albany area, and I remember the first time coming up and seeing the Albany skyline. I got really excited. Granted, I was like 6 years old, but I still love this city, and I still love the impact. And yeah, covering Donald Trump or some random federal politician might be interesting, but I like seeing the change that the state government or a local government can have on individual people's lives. So I like telling those stories and helping raise issues that might not get a lot of attention, because local roads, like we talked about earlier on today's show, might not get like the huge attention that it deserves, but you'll know when a pothole is ruining your car.
So I know you're really close with your parents. So what was their reaction when you told them you were, you know, taking on a new job?
They were excited, yeah. And I had to have a whole philosophical discussion, because I really love working with you and working on NPR. And
Yeah. Sure you do.
And
as he shuts the door on me.
Oh, we're not done yet?
No.
But yeah, it was a tough decision, but I'm really looking forward to this new opportunity and doing it. Part of the reason why I stay in the area is because my parents have been sick for quite some time, and it's nice having the opportunity to stay in the area but try something new.
So you're giving yourself about 48 hours off in between jobs. Was there any thought about you know, making a longer window in there? I mean, obviously you gave us plenty of notice. It really made my life a lot easier. But I mean, did you think maybe 72 hours might be the right number?
You know, we're in the middle of a pandemic, so I'm not planning any trips to Aruba or Cancun or anything like that. But hopefully in the not too distant future, I can relax a little bit.
And so you'll be starting on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you'll be on the air with your work, will be present right away, or do you think there'll be some sort of learning curve?
I hate being on air, so this
Well, I mean your work that you're doing.
Yeah, I'm hoping so, yeah. I don't know yet, but hopefully soon.
And if people want to keep track of you on social media, what should they do?
I'm on Twitter, at TimW518. Send Real Housewives GIFs? I know I'm getting into that hot debate, but yeah, send them along.
Well, we've been speaking with our outgoing producer, Tim Williams. So, Tim, aside from editing and distributing today's show, that's everything I have for you. So, would you like to take us out?
Sure. You've been listening to the Capitol Press Room. Our engineer in Syracuse has been Dave White. Our host in Albany has been Dave Lombardo. And for the last time, I'm producer Tim Williams. Thanks so much for listening.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.